listening to a podcast from The National.
Al Jazeera, two-time champions of the UAE, face off against 33-time champions of Spain, 12-time champions of Europe, and the reigning defending champions of the world, Real Madrid. They meet on Wednesday for a chance to play the FIFA Club World Cup final. Can Henk Ten Cat's side pull off another shock and stop Real's bid to become the first team to defend the trophy? We'll have that and plenty of more insight from our guests this week. Joining me in the studio is our sports reporter, John McCauley. John, welcome.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, mate. And sports editor, Graham Cagill. Graham, welcome.
Hey, Steve.
How's it going?
Very good. Very busy, but it's a great week for sport.
It certainly is, isn't it? Now, John, you were at the game at Zayed Sports City to see Jazeera book their place in the semi-finals against Real Madrid. There's been some fairly big club matches played on UAE soil over the past couple of years. Al Ain and Al Ahly of contesting home legs of the Asian Champions Final. I think it's fair to say, though, they pale in comparison compared to the position that Jazeera find themselves in, facing arguably the biggest club on the planet, a club that has amassed an astonishing 87 trophies. You stop me if I'm overselling this, Colts. This is the biggest game of club football that has ever taken place on these shores.
Well, can't say no after that intro. It certainly feels that way at the moment. As you said, Steve-O, we've had in the not too distant past, we've had the Asian Champions League finals when we've had Al Ahly and Al Ain, and they've been hugely important matches for UAE football. But given the prestige of Real Madrid, given the pull of Real Madrid, which you got to see a little bit of that last night whenever they had their first training session at New York University in Abu Dhabi.
And you were in attendance for that, were you, John?
Yes.
Yeah. And give us a feel of the atmosphere there. Now, I imagine there were plenty of Real Madrid fans.
Just a few.
Yeah.
As I said in the piece that I'd written, I think everybody had a Real Madrid scarf or hat or they had flags and things like that. Just whatever kind of colours that they could have that match Real Madrid, they were wearing them proudly last night.
And who was the biggest cheer reserved for?
Well, Cristiano Ronaldo, surprise, surprise, to be honest. But, you know, it's... You could really take your pick because Real Madrid have brought, and it's testament to how serious they're taking the tournament. They've brought a very, very strong squad. So they had all their big players there. They had Bale, who was training alongside them. He's obviously had lots of injury problems the past few seasons, actually. And the good news was that he was participating in the training, although he did come off a little bit early. Him and Rafael Varane seemed to be taking it a little bit more lightly than the rest of the teammates, but there were people peering over the fence that couldn't get in. I think it was first come, first served. It was very hard to find out exactly what was going on last night, but there were maybe about 500 fans packed into the one stand on the near side of the training pitch, which is a really nice facility down there. And you had fans, there was a huge fence that kind of ringed the running track around the pitch, and you had fans peering over that. Guys standing on bollards to see if they could get a better vantage point and things like that. So it was fantastic to see, but Real Madrid are just used to that. You know, they travel all around the world. They are the biggest club in the world, and it certainly felt that way last night.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess over here, even playing the hosts, Real Madrid, probably everywhere they go, are still the most supported club of the two teams, aren't they? Probably other than Barcelona, but certainly going overseas. Now, as you say, they arrived in the capital on Sunday. Graham, they've had a mixed start to the season. You know, their domestic form contrasts markedly to their form in Europe, where they're through to the Champions League. Nogue scored, I think, 9 goals, is it, in the group stages. But they trailed Barcelona by 8 points after 15 games in La Liga, where Ronaldo's only scored 4 goals. Now, clearly, it's going to be a huge task for Jazeera to overcome the might of Madrid. But what areas do you see that Jazeera may enjoy some success against Madrid?
I think realistically, it's going to be going at the Madrid defence, essentially. I think of Mac Boots looking in great form, then if he can get on one-on-one, they've got... I think Madrid, like a lot of the big sides, have got a glass jaw. You've just got to try and get close enough and not get hit yourself. I think... It's going to be the cliche.
Take a bloody nose and walk through some punches, yeah. To use some boxing analogy.
It's going to be the classic analogy of sort of the crucial thing, if they're gonna, if they are gonna get anything out of this game and really be competitive in it, is to get through the first 30 minutes, and hopefully they've got an advantage in that they've had two games in this period. And Madrid obviously played in the Premier League at the weekend and probably just reminded everyone, just in case we were thinking they might not be on it, by scoring 5 goals in the first half against Sevilla. A bit of a gentle reminder, and Ronaldo getting the Ballon d'Or as well, just as a sort of reminder of just what we're up against. But if history's kind of told us anything from when Barcelona were here in 2009, Real, they're making all the right noises about their showing Jazeera and respect, but they're likely to probably be a little bit creative with their selection, because obviously they're going to expect probably whoever they face on Saturday, if they get through, to be a sort of tougher test. So it might well be that Ronaldo possibly is a substitute that they'll bring on with one eye towards Saturday and stuff. So they've got, Jazeera have got to kind of take that and sort of really sort of use that as motivation, sort of. And I hope, I'm sure Henk's been around the block enough to you trying to say, look, they're looking past us, let's go for this when they see the team sheets tomorrow night. Because I'm always from the school of thought that you win the game, then they take him off. I would prefer to see Ronaldo on the pitch from the start, I think as everyone will, and see them win the game and then sort of think about resting players for Saturday. But I think, obviously, the defenders are going to have the games of their lives, I think, essentially.
Yep. I think Ali Kashif made it, was it 7 saves in the opening game against Auckland?
Man of the match.
A man of the match performance. I suspect he will need to produce something similar against Real Madrid.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's not just the defence, I think it's the whole team, if that's not stating the obvious. Because let's not hide the fact there's a huge gap between the two teams, and you've got to look at UA football has only been professional for less than a decade, so you know it just shows you the kind of sense of achievement that Jazeera have to get this far in the tournament, and especially winning the Arabian Golf League last year whenever nobody really expected it as well. That was a fantastic achievement. So I think what they can maybe cling to would be that hopefully Real Madrid are a little bit complacent.
Yeah.
And maybe Real Madrid, obviously, you know, I'd imagine they don't know too much about Jazeera. I don't think they would figure too highly on on their
too highly on the scouting network.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, that could maybe play into Jazeera's hands, but you've got to look at this, I don't want to sound kind of patronising, but you've got to look at this as a real bonus for Jazeera to be this far, to be representing the UAE in a tournament that's taking place in the Emirates, and I think just really embrace what tomorrow night brings.
Well, that was going to be my next point, and no disrespect to the other semi-finalists, Pachuca and Gremio, but essentially this is the final, as far as Al Jazeera go, you know, facing Real Madrid in any competitive fixture is definitely the final, so I don't think there's any question that players are going to want to go out and perform, and I guess touching on that, the players, and like you said, Henk Ten Cat have been very vocal in that they're representing the country. It's not just all about Al Jazeera. In terms of the individuals, though, this is a real platform for the likes of Ali Mabkou, Kashif, Romarinho, and some other players to really put themselves on a platform where they're in a shop window, where they, if they can cause Madrid problems, if they can have a good game, then this is going to alert a number of clubs. This is a huge stage for them, certainly bigger than they perform on domestically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%. And you just hope, as I said, you just hope that they kind of rise to the challenge and embrace that. And Henk Ten Cat's a very, very astute kind of man motivator, and that's one of his biggest attributes. And I could imagine he'll get the team completely amped up for this. And speaking to guys at Jazeera, their training's been pretty competitive, as you would imagine, the last couple of days after Saturday night's win. The only concern at the moment is, I'm not too sure, I'm going to ask Ten Cat in the press conference later, but I'm hearing that Ali Mabkut might not make it, which would be an absolute travesty for him, because, as we said, playing on this stage, playing against arguably the biggest team in the world, he picked up a knock against Urawa at the weekend, and he's kind of touch and go at the moment. They've got another training session tonight, this Tuesday night, so we're just hoping that he would be able to get through, because, as you said, Steve-O, it's an incredible platform for these guys.
And what would that mean in terms of his Ten Cat's team selection if Mabkou was ruled out? Romarinho maybe playing as a central striker?
Yeah, probably. And he's been fantastic, to be fair. And he scored the winner against Auckland City last week in the playoff to get them into the quarterfinal. And then he laid on the assist for Mabkou at the weekend. He's really risen to the task. He, he joined in the summer, and there were a few issues there, and he's taken some time to kind of find his feet and show the kind of form that he showed for his former club. So he, as I said, he's really kind of risen to the occasion. So you would hope that he would lead the line. They've got Rashidov, the Uzbek winger, who could come in, but again, he came in the summer and hasn't really done anything for the team, and looks to be on his way out this month. The transfer window's just opened here in the UAE. And you might look at somebody like Khalfan Mubarak, who's the, I say, youngster. I think he's 23 now. He's
ready to be put out to pasture, that one.
He played in the first game, didn't play in the second game, and he's someone that kind of adds a little bit of spark. He's got lots of skill, so maybe they would entrust him with that. But look, we just hope, as I said, just for spectacle and for everything that this means to Al Jazeera and to the UAE, you would hope that Ali Mabkut gets past fit.
Definitely. Now, great. There's a number of the Real Madrid players, captain Sergio Ramos, Marcelo, Keylor Navas, the goalkeeper. They've all said they're determined to defend the trophy. And should they overcome Jazeera and should they win the final, it would cap a quite remarkable year that has seen them already crowned champions of Spain, champions of Europe, and by the end of this tournament, maybe champions of the world again. That would be some achievement for Zinedine Zidane.
Well, considering there were so many doubts when he took over, because you remember what he inherited when he first took charge from Benitez, like in January 2016. This was a club that, obviously, they've always had Ronaldo and you always expected them to be up there. And obviously, like, you've got to put a little bit of a caveat with retaining the Club World Cup, because generally, the reason it's not being retained is it's so hard to get back into it, because you've got to have won the Champions League, and they became the first team to do that since AC Milan in the summer. So it'll be a fantastic achievement if they can do it. And it really will sort of highlight what, because they're still up against, you remember in Spain, they beat a Barcelona side that's Suarez, Messi and Neymar. No mean feat as well. And it's not
like overcoming Al Jazeera.
No, but it's not an easy club to imagine. You can only, with all the sort of media you have every day, there's rumours in the Spanish media and that, and you've got having a dressing room with Ronaldo in it can't be that easy, I can imagine, sort of with all the demands and stuff. I imagine actually having Ronaldo on the pitch for probably the easiest part of it and such. So it will be an amazing achievement if they do it, and it will, again, highlight, I know John's already said at the start of the podcast, they are the biggest side in the world, and I think this will cement it. And I think it's fantastic it's in Abu Dhabi that we're going to see this happen.
Yeah, definitely. Now, obviously, Jazeera versus Real Madrid is one of the semi-finals. Pachuca, the Mexican side, versus Gremio of Brazil is the other. We've already seen Pachuca in action in the Club World Cup. Colts, they beat Wydad Casablanca 1-0, a game you were at, I believe, the doubleheader. They've got some players that some of our listeners will be familiar with, particularly the Japanese midfielder Keizuki Honda, formerly of AC Milan. But great, the Brazilian club Gremio, of course, winner of the Copa Libertadores. Now, teams from South America traditionally tend to take this tournament, the Club World Cup, a little bit more seriously than their European counterparts, say. I remember in 2010 when Internacional were here, thousands of Brazilian fans turning up for the games, bringing all the flair and colour that you would expect of them. Now, for those of us unfamiliar with Gremio, tell us who we should be looking out for.
I think the interesting thing, just going back to what you said there initially, Steve, about sort of the enthusiasm, I think it's all part of a roller coaster that they're still on, in terms of the fact, like, they were the last team to win the tournament, to qualify for the tournament, in that they only won it at the end of last month. And so there was actually some really nice quotes from Walter Kahneman, the centre-half, talking about the fact, like, this is a bonus for them. And this is the first time they've been at the Club World Cup as well, because it was the third time they've won the tournament to qualify. But it was the last time was in 1995 before this tournament began. So this is a big adventure for them. As you said, unfortunately, probably their biggest player and the one that would be most fun to watch, loving the name, the Brazilian name's Arthur.
Yeah, that traditional Brazilian. Yeah.
Arthinho.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he is not going to be playing because he's injured. He picked up a knock in the actual Copa Libertadores final. Unfortunately, he's out with an ankle injury because he's heavily speculated to be going to Barcelona. So it would have been fun to see him playing that. But Lahn, their other striker, will obviously be where they're looking for the goals, particularly. And I think Kahneman will be an interesting one to watch for as well, in sort of in the central defence, because making the presumption, normally it is Europe champions against the South American champions, if we're going that way, he'll be up against Ronaldo in the final. And he's already said that's in that matchup he's really excited about. So I think there'll be a bit of intrigue in there. But I think, as you said, it's just the excitement and Samba spirit that it's a bit of a cliche, but when you're actually at the games, and it does add to the atmosphere completely. And for them, this is like a bonus for, you know, and it's almost like a wedding weekend, really, that keeps on going. They've had the big festival, but then there's actually another party going on straight afterwards that they've come to. They haven't probably even really settled yet, because if you see the pictures of when they won the tournament, that was an amazing celebration and stuff. So they're probably still just living the dream in that respect. So the chance to have a pop at Real Madrid, from their point of view, like everyone else, they've got nothing to lose, and it's a new adventure. And so I think they're going to be fun to watch.
I think that Andy Mitten had written that 3,000 fans were travelling from Brazil, and that's an incredible achievement for them, considering that they only found out they were going to be in the tournament a couple of weeks ago. And out on my travels yesterday, the day before, in Dubai, not even just Abu Dhabi, I saw a few fans with Gremio tops walking around Mall of Emirates. So it'll be interesting to see.
They all come out of the woodwork for big tournaments, yeah, don't they?
But it'll be interesting to see what they bring to it. I'd like to see a good crowd there in Allianz on tonight, Tuesday night, for their semi-final, because all eyes will definitely be on Jazeera Real Madrid the following evening, but it'll be good if they really support their team down there in Allianz.
Yeah, I mean, and as I mentioned earlier about the chance for Jazeera players to put themselves in the shop window, very much the same applies for the Brazilian teams. You know, it's a well-trodden path, Brazilian players making their way through Europe. So, again, it's another platform showcasing themselves to the world from Abu Dhabi. Let's just hope the fans have packed their winter woolies, Colts, because I hear it was a little bit cold at Zayed Sports City on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a bit nippy. So wrap up warm, I would say.
Okay.
Gremio top over your jumper.
Well, we've all got them, haven't we? Like I said, we've just been waiting for a chance to get them out of the wardrobe and dust them off. Well, lads, that's all we've got time for this week. Thanks very much for joining me, Colts.
Cheers, Steve.
You too, Graham.
Cheers.
And just a reminder that Al Jazeera take on Real Madrid at 9 p.m. on Wednesday at Zayed Sports City. You can follow our coverage of the Club World Cup online at thenational.ae. Extra Time is on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I'm Steve Luckins, and I'll see you next week.